In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for my sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Monday, September 16th, 2024. We have two sections of scripture today from 2 Corinthians and Luke for readings from the lives of the saints. We have another note on the after feast of the elevation of the cross with the same text as yesterday talking about, well, I'll just read that right now since it's so short. From September 15th until the leave taking, we sing, O come, let us worship and fall down before Christ. O Son of God, crucified in the flesh, save us who sing to thee. Alleluia. At weekday liturgies following the little entrance. Then we have the great martyr Euphemia, the all-praised, the repose of Saint Cyprian, Metropolitan of Moscow and all Russia, Saint Sebastiana, the martyr, disciple of Saint Paul the Apostle at Heraclea, and martyr Melitene of Marcianopolis. Starting with 2 Corinthians, with chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now, at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. On to Luke chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added to this, above all, that he had shut John up in prison. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Starting with our first martyr here, the great martyr Euphemia, the all-praised. The holy great martyr Euphemia was the daughter of Christian parents, the senator Philophronos and his wife Theodosia. She suffered for Christ in the year 304 in the city of Chalcedon on the Bosphorus opposite Constantinople, the queen of cities. Priscus, the proconsul of Chalcedon, issued a decree which required all the inhabitants of Chalcedon and the surrounding area to attend a pagan festival in order to worship and offer sacrifice to the idol of Ares. He threatened grave torments for anyone who failed to appear. During the impious festival, 49 Christians were hidden in one house, where they worshipped the true God in secret. The young virgin Euphemia was among those who prayed there. Soon their hiding place was discovered, and they were brought before Priscus to answer the charges against them. For 19 days the martyrs were subjected to various torments, but none of them wavered in their faith, nor did they consent to offer sacrifice to the idol. The governor, beside himself with rage, and not knowing any other way of forcing the Christians to abandon their faith, sent them to Emperor Diocletian for trial. He kept the youngest, the virgin Euphemia, hoping that she would not persevere if she were left all alone. Separated from her fellow Christians, Saint Euphemia fervently prayed that the Lord Jesus Christ would strengthen her for her impending ordeal. Priscus ordered the saint to offer sacrifice to the idol, promising her many rewards. When she refused, he ordered that she be tortured. The martyr was tied to a wheel with sharp knives attached to it, which slashed her body. The saint prayed aloud, and miraculously the wheel stopped by itself and would not move despite all the efforts of the executioners. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, removed Euphemia from the wheel, and healed her of her wounds, and the saint gave thanks to God. Priscus did not notice the miracle which had taken place, so he ordered the soldiers Victor and Sosthenes to take the saint to a red-hot furnace. But the soldiers, seeing two angels in the midst of the flames, refused to carry out the proconsul's order, and declared that they believed in the God whom Euphemia worshipped. Boldly proclaiming that they were Christians, Victor and Sosthenes awaited punishment. They were sentenced to be devoured by wild beasts. In the arena, they begged God to forgive the sins they had committed, asking the Lord to receive them into the heavenly kingdom. A divine voice was heard, and the two soldiers entered into eternal life. The beasts, however, did not harm their bodies. Saint Euphemia, cast into the fire by other soldiers, did not suffer. With God's help, she emerged unscathed after many other torments. Ascribing these things to sorcery, Priscus ordered a pit to be dug. Filling it with knives, he had it covered over with earth and grass so that the martyr would not notice this trap. Once again, Saint Euphemia remained safe, walking over the pit. Finally, she was sentenced to be devoured by wild beasts in the arena. Before her execution, the saint prayed that the Lord would deem her worthy of martyrdom. But none of the bears or lions attacked her, but only licked her feet. Finally, one she-bear wounded her foot, which bled slightly, and the holy great martyr, Euphemia, died right away. As her soul departed, there was an earthquake, the city was shaken, the walls fell down, and the pagan temples crumbled. As Saint Euphemia lay dead in the sand, the guards and spectators fled in terror, so that the saint's parents were able to take her body and bury it near Chalcedon. Later, a majestic church was built over the grave of the great martyr Euphemia. The sessions of the Fourth Ecumenical Council took place there in the year 451. At that time, the holy great martyr Euphemia confirmed the Orthodox confession of faith in a miraculous way, exposing the Monophysite heresy. That miracle is commemorated on July 11th. When the Persians captured Chalcedon in the year 617, the relics of the holy great martyr Euphemia were transferred to Constantinople around the year 620. During the Iconoclast heresy, the reliquary containing St. Euphemia's relics seems to have been thrown into the sea, but pious sailors recovered them. They were brought to the island of Lemnos, and they were returned to Constantinople in 796. The incorrupt body of St. Euphemia is in the Patriarchal Church of St. George at the Phanar in Constantinople. Portions of her relics are to be found in the Kikos Monastery on Cyprus, and in the St. Alexander Nevsky Lavra at St. Petersburg. On to the repose of St. Cyprian, Metropolitan of Moscow and all Russia. St. Cyprian, Metropolitan of Kiev and all Russia, was a Serb by origin and struggled on Mount Athos. By his pious life and education, he came to the attention of Patriarch Philotheos of Constantinople, who in 1375 consecrated Cyprian as Metropolitan of Kiev and Lithuania. At the Constantinople Council, it was decided to avoid a fragmentation of the Russian metropolia, and that upon the death of St. Alexis, February 12th, he should become the metropolitan of all Rus. At Moscow, St. Cyprian endured many sorrows from the great prince, so at first he lived either in Lithuania or at Constantinople. Only in the year 1390, in the time of great Prince Basil Dmitrievich, was he accepted as primate at Moscow. St. Cyprian concerned himself with the correction of the service books. There are preserved autographic manuscripts of certain Slavonic translations by the saint, witnessing to his great scientific work, and by his pastoral epistles he encouraged the faith of the church. His activity in the translation of liturgical literature is widely known. On to Saint Sebastiana, the martyr, disciple of Saint Paul the Apostle, at Heraclea. The holy martyr Sebastiana was a follower of the holy apostle Paul. During a persecution against Christians under the Emperor Domitian, 81 through 96, she was on trial as a Christian before the governor named Georgios in the city of Marcianopolis in the Mysia region. Saint Sebastiana firmly confessed her faith in Christ, and for this she was subjected to cruel tortures. At first they beat her, and then they threw her into a red-hot oven, from which she emerged unharmed. They sent the saint into the city of Heraclea, where sentence was pronounced on her a second time. The governor, named Pompeian, gave orders to tie the saint to a tree and lacerate her body with roof tiles. The martyr remained unbroken in her faith. Then the governor gave her to be eaten by wild beasts. There, too, the Lord preserved the holy martyr, and the beasts refused to touch her. Then, by order of the governor, Saint Sebastiana was beheaded. Her body, thrown into the sea, was taken by angels to the islands of Rhodes and Thrace in the Sea of Marmara. And Martyr Melitene of Marcianopolis. The holy martyr Melitene lived in the city of Marcianopolis here, in Thrace, during the reign of Emperor Antoninus Pius, 138 through 161. Antiochus was the ruler of Thrace at that time. Since he was a fierce persecutor of Christians, he ordered that Melitene be arrested because she was a devout Christian whose fiery preaching converted many pagans to Christ. The Lord blessed her with the gift of wonder-working, and by the power of her prayers, she shattered the idols of Apollo and Heracles. Antiochus tried to make her worship the pagan gods, but his efforts were in vain. Since the saint could not be persuaded to deny Christ, she was handed over to the ruler's wife and some crafty women who tried to win her over with flattery and kindness. Not only was Saint Melitene not deceived or persuaded by their efforts, she converted the ruler's wife to Christianity, who tried to conquer Melitene. She who tried to conquer Melitene was defeated. She wanted to make Melitene an idolater, but she herself became a Christian. The two women, concealing this from Antiochus, worked together and brought many, many pagans to Christ. The madman Antiochus was furious when he learned the truth and had both women beheaded. Saint Melitene walked bravely to her death and to everlasting glory as well. A certain Christian from Macedonia, whose name was Achaios, was passing through Marcianopolis on his way back to his own country. Since St. Melitene's holy relics remained unburied, Achaios asked the ruler for them, intending to bury them in Macedonia. Antiochus did not suspect his godly intention, so he gave him the saint's body. Achaios took the holy relics and placed them in a chest, and then he left for his own country in haste. While at sea, he became sick and died. The ship put in a promontory on the island of Limnos in order to bury the saint's relics. Achaios, who loved the martyrs, was also buried near the tomb of Saint Melitene. And we will wrap it up there. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow. All glory to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.